Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 4 event podcasts, with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, The Mythos Mysteries, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, my kindred, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am Sylvania Dracul, your host through this world of darkness. The coterie finally had a moment together following the traumatic events of the night. Val tried and failed to comfort a despondent Evangeline. Everett struggled with a lack of kindred blood to feed upon. And Doris, in her usual fashion, dropped hints of even more trouble ahead for the sheriff. Will a day's rest be enough to face what a new night will bring? Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
It's not a new evening in New Haven. Something is desperately and horrifically wrong. Val and Evangeline, please roll rouse checks.
Rousing.
That's just 1d10, right?
That's great.
Yeah.
I got a 5, so I think that just fails, right?
I got a 5 too.
Oh, there we go. Right.
So you each had 1 point of hunger and failed to awaken.
Boo.
Sleepy. Rouse checks, generally speaking, aren't failable. So something is desperately wrong. As both of you sort of begin to move your limbs and try and kind of awaken as you normally would, feeling, of course, that hunger that you both just received, your vision blurs a bit. Your limbs feel unresponsive and sluggish. And Val, I imagine you're probably like sleeping on a chair, right? I don't think you would have gotten too comfortable.
Yeah, I imagine she maybe even sleeping on the floor, just the back to the wall. Like, yeah. Just
great. Sitting. And Evangeline, where do you imagine you were sleeping in the hospital room?
Evangeline's in a chair because she had to do like really shitty hours of like being on the news and stuff. She got used to just like falling asleep in a chair when she had to. So
totally fair. All right. So again, you can't really see much. You think you can see sunlight coming in through the blinds. In sort of glimpses, not enough to burn you, but enough to know that it's not evening. Evangeline, as you fail your ability to get up, you kind of slide forward off your chair. It's a no bones day for you, and you can kind of feel the blanket you pulled up fall away as you just full body face plant into the ground. You move your arms to catch yourself, but they do not respond. You smash into the ground. Val, meanwhile, you're still on the ground. You can't move. And I feel like being paralyzed is probably like a special kind of frustration for Val. So you hear kind of a thump behind you. But again, because you both rolled low, unfortunately, you're both just kind of drifting in and out. And the only thing that Evangeline, you get as you kind of fall forward is that neither Everett nor Doris are in the room with you. And Val, all you hear is the sound of a hiss and a rattle as a reptilian creature slides up and over your back. Meanwhile, Everett, go ahead and roll me a rouse check, sir.
Oh my God, all right. That's a 10.
10? All righty. Rise and shine. No extra hunger for you, which is damn good because you're a hungry lad. You have not had vampire blood in a bit. And normally that wouldn't be too much of a problem, but based on all the damage you've taken and torpor and everything else, and your refusal to drink in the hospital, they brought you out of torpor with human blood, but because they were kind of like bringing you out on an IV drip, I think we can safely say it kind of like likely went around your ventru leanings, largely yeah. because so much of your bane is around taste and flavor. Like I kind of imagine it's closer to like a really, really hard vomit reaction to cilantro. Like it's just like, no.
Right. But if I was fed cilantro intravenously, it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I think we're still going to say you're kind of fucked up, but your body was so desperate for anything, it couldn't care. And you probably did like vomit up like black bile and grossness from your undead body, but you're strapped to a gurney. And, you know, if anyone could handle that, it was the incredibly calm James Bezos who was built for this.
I just want to say that Tom's feelings about cilantro do not reflect the feelings.
I love cilantro.
The whole company.
100%. I love it. I love it so much. I was just trying to think of like, what's the universal thing that someone who hates it. No, I agree. But I also want to go on record that it tastes delicious to me and not like soap. So, get at me, cilantro Twitter, and join me. We'll have a cilantro party. It's going
to
be great.
Tastes like soap to me, but I like soap. So there you go.
Hey, yeah. All right. All right.
We can move on. I'm sorry.
You'll fit right in because of all the cussing we do on the show. You gain a taste for the punishment. Right. Right. So Everett, you awake and you're alarmed to find yourself in a box again. This has become a more common occurrence for you of late than you would like, particularly as a kindred who doesn't traditionally sleep in a coffin. Like you'd sleep in like your car for a bit back when you still had a car back in Montreal, and then your office, and then here, like you've kind of been making a run of it. So waking up in yet another box is not great.
Yeah.
What do you think your first reaction is waking up in a box?
I think because the last time I woke up, I was brought out of torpor and I was in a completely different place. I think it's probably just another assumption that something happened while I was in the hospital and they've just moved me, you know, hospital beds. You can't wake me up during the day. So you probably just, there's probably an implied form of consent at this hospital for like day sleeping vampires to be moved if need be kind of thing. Just kind of like thinking like, I guess that's just how this town works. It's all new to me, but that would make sense. Am I able to move my limbs?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
As soon as you begin to, can you actually, before you get to move in here, given that you're not having a panic reaction to waking up, can you roll me an awareness and let's go with wits.
Awareness plus wits. That's a lot of dice. There we go. Let me know if I'm hitting the mic when I shake my dice like this. Oh, Deary me. That is three successes.
Hey.
Two tens, one on a hunger die.
Messy successy!
Some people call them that. Some people have referred to them as that in the past, yes.
Yes, quite. I believe it's referred to specifically in the new source books that they're releasing as messy successes. Right. It's canon now. As long as no one's read them, it's canon. It's like that old Simpsons gag. It's like, it doesn't say that in the Bible. It's like, sure it does, in the back. Oh, fuck me, Tyler. That was not what I was expecting.
So what is awareness and wit? So what does the beast notice? Is it all of a sudden like... put my fist through the lid of this box or whatever?
It is, yes.
Oh, Jesus.
I think given the state of your hunger, even though you don't gain any more by awaking, you've been injured enough, hurt enough that I think the beast just kind of fully kicks in. And honestly, like, it's been clawing its way out more and more for you of late. I think... even though, like, investigator Everett Fry might have like a sound, sober, logical way to approach this, the beast is having none of it. As you struggle to hear through the box, it's like the frustration at you know, when there's like a sound. This is usually like people talking, where you can hear just enough to know that people are talking, mm-hmm. and you can almost make it out. I think it's your beast picks up on that, and it just unfortunately like sets off a weird chain reaction of like, I should be able to hear this. It's frustrating. I can't hear this. If I was out there, I could hear it. I must hear. So you burst forth from this box. At which point you just hear someone in a helmet yell shit. Suddenly you're in midair. Exploding from the box has caused the helicopter you're riding in to tilt wildly as you and three armor-clad men are thrown against the side those alarm claxons start blaring. With rage in your eyes, look around to see exactly what the fuck is going on. Meanwhile, back at DeSantis Medical, or General Hospital,
Jesus.
Or General Hospital, as it's known in some circles. Evangeline and Val, how would each of you try and come out of this? You've now hit a point of kind of drifting in and out where you realize you're not trying to come out of rest. This isn't, in fact, a rouse check. This is, in fact, a thing. So similar to Everett kind of taking in what had happened to him and making an educated guess, what do you think your first reactions would be? Val, you've got something reptilian and hissing on you. Evangeline, you just face planted off a chair, which mm-hmm. I think honestly might be equal in dignity for each of you, depending on your moods. How do you try and kind of shake this off?
Yeah, I think Val's initial reaction is not being able to move and it feeling like the fight that just went on and all the magic and her body being controlled. So her initial reaction is the built up anger and just trying to force her body to move. But she immediately assumes it must be magic, blood magic again, and just angrily trying to ramp herself up to find some strength within her to move or fight against whatever it is that's going on.
I dig that. So let's go for you then. Let's go with strength. I like that. And maybe survival? Does that seem right? Strength and survival to you?
Mm-hmm. I can definitely do that.
Or brawl. I take survival or brawl. Survival more for like I'm toughing it out and I'm just kind of like using my strength to kind of like muscle through. Brawl with more like the rage flails, like you're in a mosh pit.
Yeah, I think it's going to be brawl then. I imagine the fists and the shaking arms start happening even as she's on the ground and then trying to just fight through whatever this is.
Yeah, all right.
So strength, brawl, and I have three hunger still. Well, I have,
And Evangeline,
I have three hunger because I just marked it.
Amazing. All right. Right, because of the rouse. Evangeline, what are you rolling?
I think this is one of those things where after like so much shit has gone wrong, you know, when you're just having like the worst fucking day ever. Mm-hmm. And one more thing, like there's already been tears. There's been like literally blood, sweat, and tears. And you're just like so fucking fried. And like one more bad thing happens and you don't have space for it. You just like, there is no emotional reaction. Mm. There is just from her, I think it's just like, it's just like a no, this is not, I refuse to let this happen right now. And I think that is just like, she is just kind of goes into like, we just need to deal with this. And I think she would literally launch herself up just with that, just with like a fuck no.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. So a similar kind of like drawing from a similar place as Val, but shot through a prism of like, I've had enough, not this makes me incredibly furious. All right, cool. Yeah, I like that a lot. All right. So I think then, Laura, I might take this one as resolve and athletics.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes the most sense for me of those.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'll roll at the same time.
Sounds good.
Okay. Woo! that is four successes.
And that's it?
That's four success. Yes, because it has to be two. No. It's only 110 is on a hunger die.
Well,
okay. I looked at it. I was like, huh.
Normal successy.
I did the same normal reaction. I got five successes, two tens, one on a hunger dice.
Messy successy! Oh man, it's good to be back. We take a break. We come back to just like just messy right successes. Right on, messy Tyler's down,
expression.
Yeah.
Yep, this is happening.
Oh, buddy. Okay. Okay, great. Evangeline, you spring up and taking in the room, you can see that it is you know, as you left it, except that Everett's bed is empty, so he's gone. There's no signs of a struggle. His body's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Doris's bed, however, is a bit different. There's some blood splatter on it. It's disheveled, and you can see that half the mattress has been pulled off. And there's a knocked over chair next to it, which is all. You reacting, Laura, or just shaking your head as a human?
Evangeline is shaking her head. As right. I am. And just say, no.
Don't like it?
No. No.
Which is, of course, the worst thing that could happen to you in this moment until a snake gets thrown at you.
No.
Val, as you hulk out, just rage playing, your first reaction is to just toss this thing off your back. You don't even bother to look at it. Which unfortunately hits Evangeline in the face. And then in your messy successy state, you tear out the door. You pick up the visuals immediately. Sheriff is gone. Doris is gone. It's just like, I think it's that classic, like, our brains aren't great at understanding that we've been unconscious for a while, where it's just like, you remember the last thing you remember. So it's like, whoever did this is probably right outside. Which, you know, non-messy successy Val would definitely clock, but messy successy Val does not. So you throw the snake and you begin to run. Evangeline, you're hit in the face with a snake.
No.
What do you do?
God.
No. I think it's just like she she doesn't even panic at this point. She literally is just like, grab snake by its head. That's what you do. That's what you fucking do with snakes, because she's had to do stupid like shows, stupid like news segments with like stupid local zoos and like people coming in, and has had to hold stupid fucking like, to be clear, Laura loves like holding like animals and lizards and shit. Evangeline is just like, no, fuck this. So she knows how to keep it like as far away from her as possible and what to do.
That is so funny and such a good justification that I'm not even going to make you roll. That's great. Why do they call it a urine monkey? Oh, I figured it out.
All right. Having the worst day of her life while some dipshit in khaki shorts explains why we need to save this stupid animal.
Yeah. Exactly.
Smiling for the camera through like just pursed lips.
Oh. Yep.
And then having to deliver the weather while holding it. So
not raining cats and dogs, we're raining snakes. Like it would be awful. Right,
and the guy at the teleprompter is just pointing at it with a big smile on his face, being like this is his citizen
and
Kane.
I'm just like under my brush like, fuck you, Greg, like it's just
daytime Emmys for the local channels, here I come. Someone told him those exist. They don't. It was not you. So you hold the snake out immediately, and it looks like shit. It seems to be rotting away from the inside in your hands as you hold it. Bits of it are falling off. It's still moving, but you can see its tail is kind of like whipping in a death rattle as it kind of chokes. Definitely fanged. It looks kind of like a thin cobra, so it's got a bit of that flared cobra hood. The good that goes behind all the villains on G.I. Joe. It would have been a brilliant gold color, unnaturally gold. However, it is rotting from the inside, and there's like kind of a black tarry substance leaking out of it. Yes, as you hold it, it kind of like its tail whips kind of for the last couple times, and it goes still. At which point you hear a grunt and a crash. Val falls face first into the hallway. Val, you tear off after who's done this. What's going through your head right now? Who do you think, who done it? Like, what's the immediate, like, I know you want vengeance, but does it matter? Is it just like someone's nearby and I'm going to punch them? Like, what's the vibe?
Yeah, I think it's instant looking for vengeance, the seeing red through each hallway and looking at people and trying to find anyone who is odd person out, and probably just animal noise and swearing like, where the fuck are you? Just going through hallways, pushing over people.
Well,
just
you don't get far, my friend, because as you run into the hallway, as Evangeline just saw, you trip. You go face first into the wall. You crash through it. You kind of bounce off of it. I imagine this hospital.
Through, like, having a hospital wall, like walls.
Yeah, well, no. Like these. Keep in mind, there's one of the interesting issues with New Haven is it was built very quickly, very recently.
Right.
So I think it's safe to say that, like, looks like a hospital, feels like a hospital, but it's basically a prefab. So yeah, you like crash through some drywall. it hurts. But it doesn't deal you any superficial damage or anything. As you crash out of it, still swearing and muttering, but now covered in drywall dust, very much like Joe Pesci in Home Alone, you turn around. I know, here's my question. Do you look back to see what you tripped over, or do you tear off down the hall in search of people to punch?
Oh, if she tripped over something, she would look at what she tripped over. And she definitely looks like horror show. It's not just drywall. She is still wearing the clothes from that big battle with the black ichor, which is now dried overnight. So she's just in this stiff black, looks like garbage. Just
and doing a mosh pit flail at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah,
I assume she's still doing that.
I mean, yeah, until we hear otherwise. I mean, you know, you're all messy, successy. Yeah, it is true. Like in all the horror movies, whenever anyone gets like super gored up, they always like go get cleaned before the major next act. Even Die Hard, his shirt gets like dirty, but then kind of just a uniform dirt. So yeah, you're just like horror movie into drywall, into rage. Okay. So, looking back, as you mutter and do your little mosh pit rage, you, see that you've, tripped over, Stella, the mortal nurse that runs the blood bank, here at the hospital. Her tea mug is shattered on the ground next to her her body with kind of like a pool of tea. Bag is out. She is has now been like rolled over awkwardly. You can see there is crusted foam around her mouth, and her eyes are kind of fluttering. She's alive, but clearly in slightly rough shape. What do you do?
Oh. Yeah, I think, I don't know if I have to roll for it, because I think Val, in her heart, would want to try to calm down and be helpful to this person, but obviously her entire bane is that the rage just consumes, it keeps roiling.
It was a success that was, in fact, a mess. So I'm going to say then... You quickly look the body over and then just take off. It's a combination of your brain saying she's alive, but also someone hurt her and I'm going to go hurt them worse.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Can you roll me, please, how do we want to play this, Dale? I don't think it's an investigation, but it kind of is. But it's like a bad investigation.
It's an angry investigation.
Let's go.
Vest-gangry.
Yeah, vest-gangry. You really need to get that checked out. They have to amputate limbs for a vest of a gangry. All right, well, now that we made jokes about it, I feel like we have to use that role.
All right,
so let's
investigation.
Let's go with that.
And what else?
I was going to say resolve, but in this case, I think strength. Let's stick with the vest of angry. We're just booting doors like your impatient video game character double tapping the button, you know?
Okay. That's five dice with three hunger. I got two successes.
Two successes. Okay. So as you make your way kind of out of this ward and in further into the hospital, you kind of like boot open a couple of doors. All the rooms seem to be empty around you here. And then you get out into the main building. And again, it's not a huge hospital. Like, it's New Haven is a small community. When you get out into kind of the main corridor, you're met with like surprised looks from just like orderlies and doctors. It seems to be business as usual out here. You're wearing your sunglasses, I assume, as always. Is that correct?
I don't know if she got them back after the big fight or not.
Fair enough. Okay, it makes sense to me that you're not. You actually recoil away a bit because it's low light. Like, it's not like, you know, the morning. It's almost dusk, but enough that you actually kind of like recoil a bit as you enter the main hall. And people kind of like turn in shock. And an orderly immediately turns to you and he just says, "Oh, hey there. I'm sorry. You okay? You do you need a shower? What happened to you?"
She would grab the orderly because, the light coming into the room would stop her in her tracks. So she would grab the orderly to drag them closer to her face. So it's closer and out of the light, like into the doorway.
Yep.
And say, "What the fuck is going on? The sheriff's missing. People are hurt. Tell me what the fuck is happening."
I had a sick kid throw up and I was mopping. And
he's just gonna shove this guy down onto the ground aside and be like, "Who the fuck knows what's going on here?"
You just hear like a boom, boom, and from the front desk, someone says, "We have a code red in the lobby. Code red in the lobby."
Dum Dums and Dice would like to invite you to check out their flagship podcast, Dum Dums and Dragons. It's a show where improvisers who've never role-played before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. It features Laura Elizabeth as the wizard Alan, Tyler Hewitt as the thief Quinny, and Ryan LaPlante as a cleric named Butthole. Through their first season, these heroes experience the minds of Phandelver, but starting in season two, they step into a world of fully original adventures from the mind of DM Tom McGee. Follow them from the beginning of their quest through five more seasons and beyond. Check it out now. Dum Dums and Dragons.
Meanwhile, Everett, you are
code red in a helicopter,
slamming into the side of a helicopter. The entire thing is tilting. You can tell it hasn't like completely flipped over, but it has really like it's tilting on an angle because you basically burst out of a box like a projectile, not understanding there was space around you, and kind of crash into some people, knock them into the thing. Still in your kind of like raged out, messy, successy state. You see the aforementioned three guys wearing SWAT armor, full tinted face masks, and you're in a helicopter. There is sunlight streaming through from the front canopy. You can see a co-pilot like basically using his hand to try and block the windows back into the cabin where you are. This is a small helicopter, not like four people sitting in seats. It's big enough that they could lay you down in a coffin. Mm-hmm. Certainly not big. The coffin itself that you burst out of almost looks like a military weapons crate. Kind of a heavy wooden thing. Weirdly, you can see wires and what looks to be some kind of small metal device sticking out of it. There is a laptop that is now like, you know, like bashing around the cabin that seemed to have been propped on top. You are enraged. You have three guys around you. Helicopter is veering. Light is coming in. First and foremost, I'm going to need a stamina and I think survival from you just to see what happens when you're blasted by unexpected sunlight.
Two fails. That's all I've got.
Fair enough. So I'm going to need you to please take a point of... I think this is going to be a proper point of health. This is bad. This is really not great. And I think there's something to the idea of like if you were doing like the full Dracula, like I know that sun is happening, so I'm going to keep my shit away from it. That'd be one thing. But to literally just turn, you're in a helicopter, you're above cover, so it's just like streaming in. This is bad. You begin to just feel tired more than because like sunlight also, it's not quite like a Buffy like you burst into flames kind of situation. But you're so rough that like your body just doesn't have any reserves to deal with this shit. So you immediately feel ill. You tilt. I think this is going to bring you out of your messy successy rage just because like it's a little bit like a cold bucket of water to the face. But if it burned and made you want to fall asleep and die. You immediately one of the sort of big figures leaps at you and tries to tackle you. What do you do?
It sounds like I'm pretty out of it. I wouldn't say I consciously let him do it, but I don't know how much of a fight I've got in me.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
I think post-messy successy, probably not much.
Yeah.
All right. So you're tackled to the ground. You can hear over the din of like the alarms and everything else. This guy's head gets close enough to you that you can hear him yelling into a comm, just being like, asset is down, need cover. And then immediately another guy just leaps on top. There's just kind of like the chopper again, like sways a bit and then starts to stabilize. The guy has tackled you. So to be clear, Tyler, you're basically saying like, you're not putting up a fight now with these guys like on top of you, right?
I think I am. I just think I'm weak and disoriented. Oh, yeah. But like, I don't think it's hard for them, but I think I'm trying. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. So the guy who tackled you takes his helmet off, the first guy. Underneath, you can see he's kind of like a Michael Ironside type. So just like a real kind of like sandblasted, weathered military face kind of guy. Shaved gray head, with a little bit of salt and pepper stubble, face like granite. He just flips his helmet around and you can see his skin start to blister and smoke in the sunlight. And he flips his helmet around and he slams it over your head. He just kind of gestures to one of the other guys and then starts to like cover himself up poorly.
All right, now I've got questions. Like, yeah, now this is like Everett thought one thing, like these were men with guns taking him somewhere. And now it seems he's an asset. People are actively taking steps to protect him and their kindred. And they're opening themselves up to sunlight in an effort to protect him. So I think, yeah, the questions start coming. If Everett's able to talk under, you know, like a dog pile of soldiers, just like,
yeah,
what the hell is going on?
Once you've got the helmet on, you can see that it is like a full, like, again, I keep leaning on JJ for some reason today, but it is like a UV mask, like full glass, mask. You can see a mic, kind of by your mouth. And when you say that, you hear a crackle in your ear. You actually see the guy who's covering up kind of give you a thumbs up, tap his ear, and then someone hands him a headset, and like basically still like face to face with you as his skin continues to kind of smoke as people try and cover him a bit. He just says,
yes, good. You understand that what we're trying to do here. That's good. That's real good. Mr. Fry,
I no idea what you're trying to do here. Get off of me.
Sir, with all due respect, being on top of you is kind of what we're trying to do here to stop you from further disruptions. I understand you were disoriented. I understand you do not understand what is going on here. I'm going to need you to stay calm, keep the mask on. The sun is still up, sir. This is a major issue. We were fully expecting you to be under until we reached the clinic. But you're awake now, and that is a serious problem. So stay down, and you will not burn. Do you understand me?
Yes, I understand. I'm calm. I'm calm. What is going on? Where am I?
You can see just the slightest like hardening of his face a bit, as like clearly this is a shit show and he's like bummed about it. This is a man who likes things to run like clockwork. He just says,
Mr. Fry, you are currently being removed to a safe location. New Haven has clearly been compromised, and the council is somewhat concerned about their safety as well as yours. There are some certain questions they've got about the safety of themselves and the city. And someone calling themselves sheriff, it seems those questions fall to you. So we're moving to a safe location. This has always been the plan in case something like this happened. So I need you to stay calm. We are on your side. We are working for the council, and we're just going to go have a conversation. All right. They need some answers from you, and I'm sure you need some answers from them. And due to how out of hand things have gotten, well, we had to initiate the ASP protocol. So that's what's going on here. Rest assured, no harm will come to you if you just remain calm, sir.
Tom, do I have my gun?
You do not.
Okay.
They do.
Wasn't planning on reaching for it, but
I also mean like they have guns on their hips, like they're dressed in SWAT attire. So if you want to reach for something, you
no. It's not that I want to start shit. It's just something you think about when you're in these situations.
Do you want to ask him about it?
Yeah, I'll say, where's my weapon?
He nods and just, like waves to, another, person in armor, and she, kind of like opens a bag, and just kind of shows it to you. Just like holds up a bag. You can see your sidearms in it. Your hat is like broken and stuffed in there. It's just like anything that wasn't convenient to be on your body when you were being transported.
I reach for the bag.
She kind of like does that like edges it away thing. Coste, kind of the lead guy, just kind of looks at her, gives her a hard look and nods. She kind of shakes her head and then leans forward with the bag for you.
All right, I'll take my stuff and just have it. It's mine again.
Yep. Coste, like again, kind of leaning on his headset, just says, "And sir, I I imagine as a lawman, you understand not to discharge a firearm inside a helicopter, but after the way you burst out of your transport box there, I feel like I just need to reaffirm, please don't fire that gun in the helicopter.
Well, yeah, I know I'm in a helicopter now, so I understand the typical etiquette.
All right, sir, thank you. We appreciate that. And by this point, they've, like, brought him another helmet, and he clicks it down over his head. It doesn't quite fit, so it's kind of, like, just at his chin. So his chin continues to kind of smolder, but he nods and then kind of, like, sits back. So you've got a bit of space, and everyone kind of, like, moves back. A couple of the other two members are just, like, rapidly, like, moving the box aside. You see the lady just kind of look at the busted laptop. You can actually see kind of through the shattered screen, there seemed to be like flatline diagnostics that would have been kind of plugged in. And she just kind of like looks at it and does that thing people do in movies where she just turns it and like the glass falls off the screen and kind of shakes her head and slams it shut and throws it in a corner. But Kostya kind of like sits back very like, you know, he's kind of a short, squat guy. He reminds you of like Ridley if Ridley got jacked. He just kind of settles back and says, "Don't worry, sir. We'll be there shortly, and I'm sure again all your questions will be answered." Lord Tosarosa assured me that he'd be happy to answer any of the questions that you may have.
You know, New Haven, it ain't a lost cause. Y'all could have come to see me, and we could have had this meeting in town.
All due respect, sir, my unit only gets activated when it is when enough factors have come into play that New Haven may not be a lost cause, but is enough of a lost cause to require our intervention. So with due respect, sir, I believe just showing up to have a chat was not in the cards. After all, if a town council meeting can be attacked and council members can be killed, none of you are as safe as you believe you are. And again, due respect, sir. Local law enforcement isn't exactly known for its strong arm tactics and defensive capabilities. We are.
Well, that shuts me up. I think Everett knows he's been chastised enough by like Ridley, especially in the past, or like if he asks like the wrong questions, he really like gives the impression that he really doesn't know what it is to be like Kindred and to understand this society. So he has questions, but these don't seem like the people to ask, and he doesn't need, they appear to, you know, talking about due respect and calling me sir and an asset and all that stuff. He doesn't need to undermine that, this perspective they have of him already. So I think he's just going to shut up for the time being. And if he can, just kind of piece together what's going on based on whatever he sees around the inside of this helicopter. Like how many soldiers are in here with me?
Just the three plus two in the cockpit.
Three plus two in the cockpit. Did the two in the cockpit appear to be Kindred as well? Like, are they wearing the same helmets?
No, no helmet. Like, they're wearing those open, like, the bug-eye helmets. But no, right. They appear to be kind, which would make sense because if you're going to fly a helicopter in the daytime, sure, you could put on lots of UV screening, but maybe just get a couple of, now they're wearing the same gear as the people in the, or like the same kind of, you know, they've got the same patches like and stuff and not wearing armor, but they're wearing, you know, jumpsuits, with it. I think, at a quick glance, Everett, it would be pretty clear that this is an outfit of some sort. They're all clearly, they're organized. They're all kitted out the same way. Can you roll me, please, an investigation and wits, please?
I punch a hole in the helicopter. I'm hungry, man. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 successes. Two of them crits. One of those crits on a hunger die.
Oh, shit, sir.
Fuck.
As your eyes scan, again, you're calm, you're in control, your eyes are scanning, you see these guys, they all kind of look kitted out the same way. But there's something just kind of tickling the edge of your memory about the patches you're seeing. It's a red DNA helix, just a simple kind of red DNA helix pattern. And all of a sudden, with your messy successy, also messy successy, you realize these are the same guys that jumped Iris. You're in a red cell helicopter. They're a mercenary outfit made of kindred and other paranormal elements. And they have you in the daytime, in the sky, and are flying you to parts unknown. Which, you know what? Does kind of make you punch a hole in the side of the helicopter.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, Del Borvik at Deltastic on Twitter, Lori Elizabeth at EL Hamstring on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and our show logo was created by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We also have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. Sleep well, my kindred. Sleep well in this world of darkness.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, the Half-Blind Prophet. Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby. One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield. Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire Unfriendly, Acrix, Cameron Ezel, Grandma Likes D&D, Alan, Austin Nut Powers Fry, Stabby Stranger, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.